Hi, I'm Lucy. I'm a compulsive over and under eater. Hi, everybody. I'm glad to be here and thank you, Juliet, for asking me. And I'm nervous today. I don't usually get all that nervous when I'm sharing, but today I am. I've heard people say when they're sharing, "Oh, I don't have that much to share. I'm not doing that well in my program." And I don't usually feel like that, but I do today. So we'll just get started and see what comes out of my mouth. I remember binge eating with my whole family from the age of 6 or 7. My father was a Methodist minister in Virginia, which, for anyone who's not in the US and doesn't know, that's a part of the South with all of its legacies of slavery and racism, et cetera, et cetera. And I grew up eating lots of sugar, lots of fried foods, lots of homemade baked goods, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, my father says that when he was ordained as a minister, all the other ministers said, "Hope you like covered dish suppers and fried chicken, because you're going to eat a lot of it as a Methodist minister." So that's sort of how it went. And I am, I grew up during the 60s and 70s. So I was definitely a sex, drugs, and rock and roll kind of kid. And I had two older brothers that I idolized, and they were both kind of hippie protester types. And I was definitely an angry kid. Being a preacher's daughter is not a fun thing. And I rebelled a lot, and I started using drugs and alcohol really young, which is sort of an outside issue and sort of not for me, because I substituted drugs and alcohol for food and food for drugs and alcohol off and on. I can remember going out to eat with my girlfriend one night, and the waitress came over to say, "Do you want dessert?" And I said, "No, thanks. I'm drinking my calories tonight." So that's kind of how it was. Whatever did the trick I was after. And I was a wild child in college. I went to a party school, and most people gain weight their first year in college because of all the food that's available to eat, however much you want. But I was so busy running around and dancing and being a wild child and partying that I lost weight my first year in college. And weight was a big deal in my family. Before I came to program, to OA, I was starting to watch what I was eating and pay attention. And when I first came to program, I had already given up sugar before I came to program. And I'd go out to eat with my mother, and I'd ask the wait person, "Does this food have sugar in it?" And she'd fuss at me like, "Oh, you're making such a big deal of this." But then she'd tell me I was fat. It's like, I got lots of mixed messages, and she had been to Weight Watchers and lost a lot of weight. And eventually I followed in her footsteps. But I eventually got into AA, and I'm grateful to say that after 6 months, I came back to AA and stuck and have been clean and sober for a long time. And I knew people in AA. Some of my best friends in AA started going to OA. And as they talked about it, I knew I fit in. It was really clear. So I started going to OA meetings, and I stuck in OA. And this was all in Richmond, Virginia, which is the capital of Virginia and a very southern place. And I mentioned the southern part because I ate southern food. And for those who know, southern food is high fat, high calorie, overcooked vegetables, etc. And that's how I knew how to eat. And it's affected me in lots of emotional ways too. My father was a big anti-racist, and this was in a state that was not very anti-racist, was not anti-racist at all at the time. And there, I had a lot of mixed feelings about things I was learning and things I was seeing and ways I was trying to live and reconcile what I was hearing at church on Sundays with what I was seeing around me, which I think added to some of my addictions in the beginning. And I came to OA and liked it and felt right at home and got abstinent and got a sponsor pretty quickly. The sponsor I picked was an anorexic, and I am an overeater and an undereater, and I've definitely done a bunch of anorexic behavior. I've never fit the diagnosis. My weight's never gone that low. But I restrict a fair amount, and I think some of why I feel off right now is I've done a little restricting recently, some of it by choice, some of it not by choice. And I'm aware that if I restrict for a little while, it doesn't have to be very long, then I get ravenous and I want to eat, 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 binge, binge, binge. So I've had some of that cycle going on where I want to binge and I'm not doing it. But I'm just aware of what it does in my head. So I came into OA and things were good. And I was in OA probably about 9 months. And then I needed to move from Virginia to San Francisco, California, which is about as dramatic a move as you can make while remaining in the United States of America. I went from the South, a very conservative place, and moved to, hippie central, about the most radical place in this country you can be. It's not anymore, but it was when I moved here over 20 years ago. And I was really happy to be here. I felt such relief. And I learned a lot from OA here about other foods, other ways of eating. I was exposed to a lot more people who were restrictors as well as overeaters. And I learned about a lot of different ways to handle that. There was a woman in the meetings I came to when I first moved to San Francisco who talked about eating a food of every color of the rainbow every day. And that was helpful for me for a while. It was like, oh, yeah, eat a variety, lots of vegetables, lots of fruits, lots of good, healthy things. And I was living a really good life when I moved here. I moved here to do an internship for my education.
10 minutes left.
Thank you. And I'm really grateful for getting to move here and learn all the things I did. And I was living in a gay part of the city, and I'm queer, so that was really fun. And I was working way on the other side of the city, so I rode buses around and saw lots of things and people that I didn't see in Virginia very much. And I was really happy. And I got exposed to a whole lot of different 12-step programs that I had not been exposed to before. And I realized that there were some of them that I would benefit from going to. So I started going to a couple of other programs. So I was up to four at that point and was finding it a little hard to manage all of those programs, plus my internship, plus, just busy life in a big city. So I stopped going to OA. I was abstinent. I'd been abstinent since the very beginning, which was probably about 3 years, not very long. And I started going to other programs, and I was hanging out with people from OA and continuing my abstinence. But slowly over time, other foods that weren't so good for me began to sneak in. I'd been off of sugar for a long time, and I began to eat things that had a little sugar in them at a little higher place in the ingredient list than I had been. And slowly my weight began to creep up. So, about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years after leaving OA, I was up to over 200 pounds, which is the highest I've ever been. And my health began to be affected. Now, I worked in healthcare for most of my career. I'm retired now. And part of what I did was one thing I did, not all of what I did. I talked to people who had eating disorders. And so I was up to my highest weight. My health was beginning to be affected, and I was talking to people at work about how to eat in a healthy way, ways to get help with eating disorders, and talking about OA as one possibility. And I'd go home and I'd feel like, such a hypocrite. Because as time went by, I began to really binge again. I didn't pick up sugar the way I had been eating it before I came to OA, but I binge on these fruit juice sweetened cookies that were as big as my face and were really expensive. And I'd eat, one, two, occasionally three packages a night of these things, plus other carbs. And I just was crazy, just crazy. And every day I'd get up in the morning and say, I'm not going to do it tonight. I'm not going to do it tonight. And then as the day wore on, I'd know I was going to do it. And then after dinner, I did it. And I was powerless. I'd come home from work, I'd be really tired and burned out. I'd eat dinner and I'd be really tired and I'd feel lonely. I told my OA sponsor that my life felt miserable and meaning, excuse me, and meaningless. And I didn't want to go back to OA. So I started keeping a notebook and I weighed myself every day, which is just insanity for me. I don't need to be paying attention to my weight like that. It's such a distraction from a spiritual life to just watch my weight. Just watch it and
5 minutes
watch
left.
it. Thank you very much. But I was weighing myself every day, every time I found an article in a magazine or a newspaper about how to maintain weight loss. I'd cut it out and put it in my notebook. I was obsessed with how not to come back to OA, even though I knew in my heart of hearts that I really needed a spiritual solution. So I reached a point where I said, okay, I'm coming back to meetings. I'm not doing anything else, but I'm going to meetings. So I started going to a meeting or two a week. And I probably did that for over 2 years. And there were two women in this meeting that I went to every week. I tried to go every week, you know, how the try goes. And they talked about doing things with food that I hadn't done yet. And they were in recovery and they were abstinent and they were maintaining a healthy body weight. And I reached a point where it was like, I can do this. So I got a sponsor. I started going to more meetings. I asked somebody, a woman who had these beautiful feather earrings, and she shared one night some things that were helpful to me. And I thought, okay, I don't know her, don't know much about her, but I'll ask her. And it turned out she was perfect for me. She also didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in God. And the higher power part of recovery had always been really hard for me. And we worked together for a few years until she was having a hard time with a bunch of things in her life. And I couldn't get a hold of her enough. So I switched to someone who was more available. And, you know, I've worked the steps a number of times in OA. I had worked the steps a bunch of times in AA. And I got a sponsor who had me work the steps. Everything I complained about, she said, you know, working the steps on that would probably help. So I've probably worked the steps about 25 times in OA over the course of 15 years. I've been abstinent at least 14 years, it may be 15 since I've been back. I get confused about dates and times and things. And, you know, it's just been a really different experience. I've come to believe in a higher power that is alive to me. You know, and I had to give up the debating society. I had to say, I don't know what God is. I don't know whether I believe in God or not. It doesn't matter. There is a higher power out there, and it's not me. And I just work the steps a lot. I talk with my sponsor weekly. I eat abstinently. I come to meetings regularly. I do service. I know the big book. I know the 12 and 12 from both programs. You know, it's just a way of life for me now. And it's really helpful. Since this is a big book meeting, I've still got a cat on me. So I looked up something to read for this year. And I thought, oh, good. I'll read some big book. It always helps me get back on track. So, on page 86, where they're talking about step 10, it says, when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others? of what we could pack into the stream of life. But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. I hear that. For that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taking. And in the next paragraph, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. And that's where the focus on weight and controlling my eating in ways that are not healthy is not good for me. And I'm really glad to be reminded by reading that in preparation for this. So thank you for asking me, and thanks a lot.